In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. There is a great deal of light in this place, in all the years of its existence, but the one that I have witnessed this past year has been truly inspiring to me as your priest and as a member of this community. I once heard a story about a man who talked about his one of his siblings, and he said that his sibling had greater faith than he, and that his sister's faith, she had that faith very early in life. And so he described this by saying, she crossed the river at its narrowest point. In other words, when she had childlike trust, she also developed that faith, and she developed it at a time when all the complications of the world had not yet entered into her perspective. Of course, the longer we live, the harder it is to cross the river, the harder it is to be a new creation. Unlike the Genesis reading, we are not created from a formless void. When we ask God to transform our lives, whether it is as an individual person or as a church, we have to start where we are. Crossing the river at its narrowest point is not an option. As I said, this is true for individuals and for churches. We imagine, in all of our circumstances, but in our churches too, we imagine what life could have been like if we had had the resources that some churches have. And sometimes we say, in this church, if only we hadn't gone through that difficult time, what could we accomplish? If only. But we are here today formed by what has gone before, the good and the bad. Our task as individual Christians and as a church is to start where we are and to do what God calls us to do from this point forward. So where are we, and where are we called to go? I'm happy to say that we're financially stable. We're doing well financially. We have proposed, or we have accepted as a vestry, a slight deficit budget for the coming year, which is certainly not my preference. But that deficit that is present in our budget that has been accepted is due in large part to our increasing our help in feeding ministries. I can live with that. If we are incurring a deficit because we're trying to help more people, I'm okay with that. Plus, there are things that we cannot predict in the budget, like unpledged income and plate income, that I believe over the coming year will be much more positive than what we have put in the budget. So I believe that deficit will take care of itself. We are vibrant and we are strong and we are growing, and I believe the finances will take care of themselves. Attendance is up. It's almost a caricature in this church how much I worry about attendance. You will see me react when I find out how many are in attendance on a particular day. Part of that, my deacon prays for me constantly about this. Part of the reason for that is that in about a year, you will decide whether to call me as rector. And I'd like to have a little evidence that something good is going on. Now, in church life, it's hard to have such evidence, and numbers of attendance and budgets are the only things we have. So I would like to think you will call me, and I will have, I hope, some evidence to show you why you should do that. Our attendance is up. We ran some numbers, I think it was back in July or August, and through that part of the year, it looked like attendance was up about 15% from what it had been over the entire annual year 2013. Now, we don't want to be consumer-oriented, saying if we have more customers, we must be doing something right. But greater attendance suggests that more people are being fed spiritually here, and that more people are finding a place in the Christian tradition. We have growing programs for our children here. We kind of struggle with that a little bit, but we have gotten a good children's church program going that I think feeds our kids and teaches them what it's like to be in church. We had VBS this year, Vacation Bible School, and it was a rousing success. We had each night of the VBS, we had between 20 and 35 children here, and we did great with it, and I thank all of you who helped with that, because that is a sign of a very healthy and growing church, that we get our children taken care of, not just because they're our children, but because they're the future of our church. They are as much a part of this church as we are. Next year, I plan to do a much better job of advertising VBS in the community, because I think we can grow that program even more and do some evangelism in a relatively painless way, which is to say, don't you want your kids to come to our church for an evening or two and find out about Jesus? And of course, that may later interest those parents in coming here also. We have done a tremendous job in the past year of serving our neighbors. I believe the number of children that we helped in Christians in Action this year was 42, I think. It breaks my heart that there are that many children to help in that context. And for those of you who don't know, Christians in Action works with children who are taken out of a home for reasons of neglect or abuse or some cause like that. So we don't want that number to be high. But if that many children are being pulled out and we can do what we do, which is to provide them with a backpack, with a couple of sets of new clothes, a stuffed animal, some things that are theirs, we've done something to convince them that the grace of God is still alive, despite their experiences at home. We had a wonderful experience Thanksgiving morning, feeding hundreds of people downtown, homeless people for the most part. I have to be a little prideful here and say, we're the ones who showed up to cook. Some of the churches come lately, came a little later and helped serve. But we were down there at 5:30 cooking for people we don't know. Why? Because God first loved us. And so we love our neighbors. We did a community service expo, which matched up people in the community with volunteer opportunities. It was a great success. We had I think we had about 18 organizations here. We had a number of visitors. We had some people show interest in the church. And mainly we showed people that one thing Christians do is we try to help each other, regardless of whether it will involve your joining our church or not. We continue to feed through Stew Pot and Billy Brumfield. And we have upped our participation in those programs for the coming year. Internally, we have many successes. We have a booming Sunday school program for adults, which isn't that common in smallish churches like ours. We have strong EFM. We have this wonderful work that's been completed in the sanctuary. We have made great progress, and this is the royal we on the memorial garden. I haven't lifted a finger to help. But I thank those of you who have, because it is a beautiful place and space for worship and for meditation and for prayer and for remembering the people of our lives. We've taken good care of one another. We've had a lot of losses this year of our loved ones. And everyone has stepped up to say, what can I do to help get us through this? We are continuing to build an awareness in people that we'd love for their first call to be to the church when they have trouble, so that we can marshal our resources so that I can be present as needed, so that we can get help to them as needed. A lot of good news. What are the challenges facing us at this time? As I said, we have a mild financial challenge, but I'm confident that that will continue to improve. We do have an aging physical facility, and there are going to be some big bills on down the line. I don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Things like the air conditioning units in this building, those kinds of things cause me a little heartburn. Like, how will we manage? But we always have, and we have a generous, generous parish. And on a personal note, I want to thank you all for the generous gift that you gave me at Christmas, the generous way that you came forward to give our employees bonuses. That is just stunning to me, how generous you can be in these things, and in providing some money so that we can buy Dalmatics for Dennis. This makes us realize not only how generous you are financially, but that we're important to you as part of your life, and that matters a great deal to all of us. I do encourage you to give more to the church financially if you can, because of some of the challenges facing us. And in light of some of our history, thanks be to God, some of you don't even know that history, but in light of our history, I feel the need to say that if our budget resources increase, it will not be so that I can get a raise. I'm very happy with what I make here. I don't need a raise. I would sleep much better if I knew all of these things could be managed financially comfortably. But this is not about money. This is about who we are as a community. If you can give more knowing that it will go to the sustaining of our work as a church and to our help with other people who have less than we do. Right now, if our budget went up, my recommendation would be that we increase our giving to Stewpot, that we increase our giving to Billy Brumfield, that we increase our resources in the budget for Christians in Action rather than have people make donations later in the year. So if we were to have a windfall, or a godsend would probably be a better word, of more financial resources, we're going to take care of more people. And we're going to let more people hear about the good news of Jesus. These are the things we would do if we had more money. One thing that we're considering, thanks to Milton Anton and his idea, and he's getting scared because he's, what's she going to say? Dennis and I are considering an idea to put together a neighborhood food pantry for the Reservoir area, stocked and staffed by members of Reservoir area churches. Not only ours, but to engage some of the other churches in the area to see if they will help us stock this pantry and staff it so that we can distribute food to people who need it. We frequently have people coming by the office in need of help. Admittedly, many of them are just working the system. They're not really, I don't think, in that much need, because we see them way too often, and they seem to know ahead of time what to ask for. So I'm getting a little cynical about that. But if people are in need, and if food is one of the most basic needs we have, and we have a pantry where we can say we can stock, you know, we can give you some groceries to take home, then we're feeding people physically and spiritually at the same time. One of the problems that we're facing is not because we're St. Peter's, not because we're an Episcopal church, but because we are a Christian church, and that is we are facing the issue that church is not as much of a priority for people as it was in previous generations. We have a lot of people who consider this their church, but they just don't go to church very often. I want more people to come. Again, not so that I can smile when we get the number from the ushers, but so that we know that people are being fed here. And if you come and have some inkling about why other people don't come, or if you don't come as often as you think maybe other people do, and you have a reason for that that we could address, please tell me that. Tell me if there's something that we could do better to get people here more often. I don't believe the answer is in providing more consumer stuff. I don't think we need a bowling alley. If that's what you suggest, I'm going to respectfully say, I think we'll do something else. Thank you. I don't want to get in that consumer way of trying to attract people. But I do want people with that longing for something deeper and more transcendent in their lives. I want them to see this as a place where they get it. And I want us all to be consistent in being here. When I was interviewed for this position, I was asked about my interest in church growth. And to paraphrase what my answer was to your vestry at that time, I said, if growing the church is something you want done only so that our budget will work better, I'm not interested. But if you're interested in growing our church because you feel this is a place where people can encounter God and more people need that encounter, I'm all in. And I am all in if you want me to be. Because this is a place where we meet God intimately and regularly and deeply. A few years before I went to seminary, we don't use this word, but we did a revival here. We carefully did not call it a revival. But that's what it was. I think we called it a renewal. I don't remember what we called it. We were so worried about that word, we just made something up. I want us to do it again. I want us to do something that helps attract the community to investigate the Christian way and the Episcopal way and the St. Peter's way. And I want an event that helps deepen our own spirituality. And I'm going to be getting after that this year. So you all please support me if we do that. If you have ideas, let me know. We have done very, very much good work together this year. But I think God asks us to do more in the coming year. Our transformation into the image of Christ won't take place from a formless void, but from the stuff we already are, from the stuff we've been through together. It's been a good year, but next year can be even better if we open our lives and our hearts and our minds and our future to the working of the Holy Spirit at St. Peter's by the Lake Episcopal Church. We can continue to help bring God and the light of God to a world that is dim with despair and chaos and violence. I firmly believe that God looks at what we already do at St. Peter's and will look at what we do in the coming year. God looks at that light that we provide. And God says that it is good.